John Williams is live from the 2019 Chicago Auto Show, now on 720 WGN.
Yeah, we're in the same seat or right next to the seat Steve Bertrand was using in the last half hour or hour, and Steve is, in fact, still here. Producer LFS Stu, and we're looking out on the bay of cars at the auto show. We will be here from now until 3 o'clock. Remember, on Saturdays, you can hear this show from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media. I'm WGN King John. Yesterday, in fact, we posted a list of some of... I just mentioned that I had a few songs that I like that are about cars, because I knew we were coming to the auto show, and I thought, well, what would be some fun songs to play? So then I started clicking on YouTube videos and watching songs that feature cars and trucks or the concept of driving. And then I posted, I said, well, what is your favorite car song? And boy, did you just fill up my Facebook page. I mean, lots and lots of comments, lots and lots of views, lots and lots of shares. I appreciate that, and I can tell that you do, too. We'll feature some of those a little later on. In fact, let's just do that right now. It's Curtis back at the station, right, Producer Olive? Let's just feature real quick how many of these songs, Steve Bertrand, can you name? You ready?
It's a montage?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like back in the day when music was played on the radio, and people pretty much only heard music on the radio. Disc jockeys would make these little mashups, and then they'd say, okay, write down all the songs, and you'll win a prize. Nine songs, go.
Well, I'm a friendly stranger in the black sedan. I want you to hop inside my car.
I'm in love with my car.
Mustang inside it.
Mercedes Benz
passenger side.
I'm driving in my car.
All right, this last one's really hard. Listen carefully.
I turn on the radio.
Do you have to name the artist?
It would help.
It's Robin Williams
doing
the Bruce Springsteen song.
You say you don't like it.
I'm on fire.
You're right. But that's Robin Williams doing the Bruce Springsteen song as whom?
Oh, Elmer Fudd?
Very good. Yeah. Okay, so there. Steve just gave you one of the nine. The last one is Robin Williams' Elmer Fudd.
Two of those songs I don't think I've ever heard before.
As Bruce Springsteen. Oh, I'll bet you have. You heard the first one.
Yeah.
What was that?
Little Red Corvette.
By Prince.
A Vehicle.
And by Ides of March.
Third one I didn't know.
Fair enough.
Mustang Sally.
By?
Wilson Pickett.
Wow, that was the hard one.
And the next one, I can't read my own handwriting.
Baby, you can drive my car.
By the Beatles. Mercedes-Benz by Janis Joplin.
See?
And then I didn't know the next one.
Well, that's maybe good. I could have made it more difficult, in other words.
Yeah.
I love
what was
Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Oh,
that was
really?
The second one. That was the second
okay.
one. You got a fast car.
Yeah. I know the song.
I love that song. Go back and listen to that. You'll thank me.
Chevy Van is my favorite.
And that's all right with me,
yeah,
that one?
Yeah. I think the singer's name is John Van, isn't it? Or something?
I don't recall that. Well, make up your own montage, Steve. We'll play it later in the week. So I guess I knew that the Cubs were going to get a broadcast deal that I would have to pay for. This year, you'll be able to still see the Cubs on Channel 9 and Channel 7 and so forth. It was weird the last couple of years because you sometimes would miss the first inning trying to find the damn game on TV. No fewer than five networks or television stations at my house would have the game at any
right.
given time. So it was really weird sometimes trying to find the game. I don't know if that's that big of a deal. I mean, people found the game or would find the game if they really wanted to, and you still make money. But that's not the point. The point is you can make even more money if you have an exclusive pay-for-cable deal, and that's what the Cubs will have in 2020. So the way I understand it is the cable operator will carry the Cubs games. There will be a Cubs channel.
Right.
My cable provider, say Comcast, will offer that. Well, that will be part of my package, and then since Comcast had to pay the Cubs millions and billions of dollars for that, they're going to pass the cost along to me. So correct. I'm going
to
pay
but you're
five.
Not, but you're not going to have to pay monthly just for, like you pay for HBO. You're not going to pay monthly for Cubs.
Right, but my cable bill will probably go up $5 or $6 a month.
Yeah, probably not that much, but...
Really? So no. You don't think this is a big deal? I think this is a really big deal.
Well, I mean, I think it's...
People are cutting the cable left and right, and those channels do add up. We all love to bitch and moan about how much our media costs
right,
are.
Right, true.
And it just seems like... And listen, I'm with the times. I get it. They want to maximize their revenue. Yesterday, I was championing the wonderful Ricketts, who are doing good things for Wrigleyville, but much to the dismay of a lot of people in Wrigleyville. But... Now, they're going to get another several $1 billion, and we're all going to pay $4 or $5 or $7 a month every single month. Add that up. Say it's $6 a month. That's another
it's
70.
Not, John. It'll be pennies.
It is.
Are they saying $6 a month?
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are. I'll bet you're going to pay $5 or $6 a month. Humor me. It's $6 a month. It's only $72 a year to watch the Cubs.
That's half a ticket to a game.
I'm going to, you know, and I don't think I have a choice because the package I'll get will include that, and that'll just be the charge.
You misunderstood me. I was talking about how expensive it is to go to the game.
I know that, but you made it sound like, hey, everybody, it's not that big a deal.
No, what I meant was it costs $150 to go to a game.
I know that. So relative to watching it on TV, it's still not that expensive.
Okay, I haven't read the stories that much because it was an overnight story. But so are you telling me it's reported somewhere that the bill could go up $6 a month?
Yes.
Well, that surprises me.
Oh, I guarantee you, Steve, it's going to be $5. I'm reading Phil, I read about what, and here's what happened in Los Angeles. The Dodgers did the same sort of deal about 5 years ago. They got like $8 billion from a cable operator. But let's see. No, I'm trying to think of what happened. With one of the media companies, they got $8 billion. But as it turns out, a lot of the other providers, say DirecTV or AT&T,
right.
They're like, you know what? We're not going to pay for that. We're not going to offer that. That's too expensive because we'll then have to charge all of our customers that, and they'll cut the cable or not buy our service rather than do that, so skip it. So a lot of people in Los Angeles do not get the Dodgers on TV.
That's because the cable packages don't pick it up.
And they said, we're not going to because it's too expensive. We'll have to pass that along to our customers. The customers don't want to pay for it. So they said, screw it. A lot of people in Los Angeles do not get the Dodgers on TV.
So it's like Sports Vision is going to be. Remember, were you around for Sports Vision?
I was, but yeah. I didn't have it.
Yeah, no, me either.
And it's not an a la carte sort of thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm all for commerce and people making money. But I'm wondering what your reaction to this is. My number is 312-981-7200. The poor Cubs, they're just having a bad week, aren't they?
Maybe not. If they just announced this deal, they're going to do okay. I mean,
well, sure, financially.
Right.
But, for instance, they have the annual spring training is here. Okay, let's have all the press in. And what do they all ask them about? Joe Ricketts.
Right.
Joe Ricketts and Sinclair. Yeah, so that's the other thing. I mean, I think that's petty, but there it is. Sinclair, the evil empire that didn't get to buy WGN radio and TV because they didn't play nice with the FCC, but is also a very conservative network. That's a network that had the TV stations across the country all like robots reading the same conservative editorials. Right, the newscasters were doing that.
Yeah,
that's
they did some hinky stuff. But
that same
they're also
company,
a company that's involved in a lot of sports broadcasting.
Right, I mean, so I don't know that it's fair to taint the Cubs with the deal they can get if somebody wants to give them $1 zillion.
It just isn't great when it comes on Joe Ricketts Week.
And then to add, then round three is, I mean, so none of these are topics that the Cubs really want to get into, right? But the first questions, and a lot of that press conference yesterday for Theo Epstein and these people is, what about Joe Ricketts? What are you going to do about it? And here's another thing about Joe Ricketts and his cache of email that were discovered and blew up on the Cubs organization, maybe unfairly, right? Maybe unfairly. Everybody says that this is a, it really looked bad, Joe Ricketts' views on Islam, on Muslims. You go and read those things. He's laughing at jokes that would make you blanch about African Americans.
Yeah.
He's laughing at jokes that say terrible things about Hispanics. You know, and he's just passing it along like a 13-year-old who has no sense in the 1970s. I mean, he doesn't show his age. He doesn't show any respect for the time and the wisdom we now have. It's just so stupid. And if it, it, I guess it doesn't matter, but it, but if you care, it's a lot more than his views about Muslims. It's other minorities as well that are thrown under the bus in his email cache. So that they were asking him about that. And at least to their credit, the Cubs said, yeah, we have to own this. You know what their motto for the Cubs this year is? It's not everybody in, which was a good motto in the past and sort of described the way they should be. Inclusive, right? We should all be inclusive. But the motto this year is something like own it now. Like when you're at bat, you need to own that moment. If you're coming in as a relief
pitcher, Tribune had a picture of Addison Russell wearing that T-shirt.
Own it now. Yeah. Well, I know, but I mean, Addison Russell was another topic. Bad week for the Cubs. And if anything, that organization needs to own this issue. They need to own the fans' dismay about having to pay for something they used to get for free. They need to own the fact that maybe they're making money with a very unpopular media company in town, and they need to own the fact that the patriarch of the organization, and I'm still not entirely clear where the money is from Joe Ricketts relative to the Cubs, but they need to own the fact that they've got a real bad name in town relative to minorities. And so that's how they kick off their baseball season. I see we have a lot of calls about this deal. The number is 312-981-7200. You can text also. Hey, we're at the auto show. If you come up to the third level, it's where the cars are, and then just make a right-hand turn. You'll see the Chevy dealership. You'll see the Nissan sign. There's an area called Buzz Hub, and that's where the broadcasters are buzzing from. And that's where we are. We're up on a raised platform stage overlooking the beautiful cars and folks walking around having a good time. Come see us. We'll take your calls and texts next on WGN. L, if you read some texts, we'll start with line one, though, and that's going to be Steve. Steve, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John, how are you? Listen, I've been a Cubs fan since the time I was born, and I'm 60 years old. I think they should keep it real. I love the Cubs. They won the World Series finally. They almost won last year. I think they're going to win again, but they got to keep it real for the fans because nobody can afford to go anymore.
Thank you for the call, Steve. Let's go from you to Alex. You're on WGN. Alex, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
I just trying to have an alternate viewpoint, I suppose, from you. Mainly the whole, you mentioned you don't mind businesses increasing prices per se to stay profitable. But going off that, I mean, since watching these games isn't necessarily a right, more of a luxury or a privilege, I don't really see why it's a larger issue that up by $5 or $6 a month extra on your bill is all that much.
Yeah, I know. I got $5 or $6.
Yeah, but if you're not a Cubs fan, it is. You know,
that's right. And you will pay for that.
Right.
And you will subsidize Cubs fans if you have cable TV.
So if you're barely hanging on now with cable, should I stay or should I go? And now you want me to, you live in Bridgeport. You're like, now you want me to pay $8 a month?
Absolutely. Welcome to Los Angeles. That's why some of the providers said, screw it, we're not going to pass it along. And people actually don't get the games in L.A.
By the way, closer Brandon Morrow says he won't be ready for the beginning of the season.
Okay, that's five things now. But right. it's not that big a deal to you. Is that what you're saying, Alex?
I'm kind of, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I might pitch one side in Rockford and two as a sports guy, but I'm an outdoor guy. And in Illinois, as you know, even for canoes.
Alex, hold on a second, Alex. Thank you for the phone call, Alex. You're cutting out. I hear you, and I know you don't agree with everything you've just heard, but that makes me appreciate your call that much more. Let's go to line four, and that's Brent. Brent, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John, really enjoyed your show. I don't think the fans will ever beat professional sports because they're organized. They got antitrust exemption, and we as fans just got to put up with it because we just don't know how to organize and get over on them like they get over on us.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, I think that's true. I mean, it's their ball. You know, you don't have to pay for it if you don't want.
I mean, you know, we pay for Comcast Sports now or NBC One Sports or whatever sports the teams are on
right
now. The Cubs are on, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the Cubs are on five different. They don't have exclusive rights to them.
Right.
This would be an exclusive package. And not only will you have the games, but then you'll have exclusive features. They'll rerun the 2016 World Series. You know, it'll be It'll be a station dedicated. I think it'll be a channel dedicated to the Cubs.
So what we'll see are the games live, post-games, pre-game, and then for the rest of the time we'll see like what would be on during rain delays?
I don't know. But you would get expanded coverage. I mean,
right.
If you think the pre- and post-game on sports shows in this town go long now, wait until the Cubs get their own station.
And don't be surprised, guys, if you start seeing maybe another team join on as well. And as well be. I mean, this isn't called the Cubs Network. I mean, we could see the Chicago Fire. Or, you know, I'm just throwing names out, maybe Northwestern or something like that also pulled into this channel as well.
Well, you throw the fire in there, I'm in.
Well, if in New York, you do not have the sense of outrage and indignation that I thought you should have.
I do, because, you know what, for me, this is like the Trump stuff with you. To me, it's a little thing. I'm so enraged by all of it, how much it costs to be a fan anymore. That this is just sort of...
That's such an interesting analogy, because I'm willing to let Trump lying about the size of crowds just rush off me like water on a duck, and you get incensed at that. I think this deserves your incense.
And I'm like, you know, yeah, there's... Can't do it anymore.
Deserves your incense? Anyway.
What's that smell?
It's 129 on WGN. Okay, Elif says we need to take a break. We'll read some of your texts, too. And Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, is here. We'll say hi to him after the news. That's all coming up on WGN.
King John is live from the Chicago Auto Show. It's John Williams on 720 WGN.
Well, that takes me back. Thank you, Duff, for producing this little bit of an open. Everybody sing if you know the words. Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. I call my car the powerful Mach 5. His brother was the mysterious Racer X. His mom and dad's names were Phil Vitale. Let me turn on your microphone. Let's make sure Phil Vitale's mic'd, too. Hey, Phil Vitale, how are you?
I'm fine. You just gave away the ending of Speed Racer. Thanks a lot.
I can't hardly hear you, sir.
That was his brother?
Hold on a second. I'm
Racer
make
X.
Sure. Try it now.
Oh, yeah.
That was his brother?
Racer X was
we all knew it, but Speed didn't know
I'm way behind on what I recorded. Oh, man.
Speed's mom and dad's names were?
Paddlefoot and Chim Chim.
Throttle and, I don't know.
I believe they were moms and pops.
Ah. I wonder who started that trend.
His love interest was?
The gear shift. I don't know. He had a love interest?
Trixie.
Yeah.
And the best part was the way their shoes clicked when they walked down the hallways. Sorry, Phil.
What was your favorite feature of the powerful Mach 5?
Well, the way it could jump.
Yeah, although I got to be honest with you, and it troubled me a little bit, but when Speed needed to get through a forest... twin saw blades would come out of the bumpers and he would cut through the forest, and I thought, okay, even if you can cut down the trees at 60 miles an hour, wouldn't you bottom out on the tree stumps underneath? But he never seemed to have any problem with that. The passenger pigeon button was pretty cool too, although if you think about it, it's kind of weird. He's got the most sophisticated car on earth, and if he pushes a button, a pigeon flies out of the car. And even though it's robotic, it sends a message back to wherever he needed to send a message to. But we digress. How are you, Phil Vitale?
I'm good.
We're at the 2019 Chicago Auto Show. We're talking a little bit about cars here. Boy, will you have a nice time when you come to the auto show. And we'll visit with the executive director of said auto show, the chairman, Ray Scarpelli, will say hi to us a little after 2 o'clock. Before we talk about restaurants, and that's your beat, right, Phil Vitale? Thanks for coming into the auto show and visiting with us. We were talking about the Cubs deal. Well, it's their deal. They're going to do this in 2020. You will be charged to watch Cubs games. You'll have to buy a package. Lots of calls and lots... I'm sorry, my microphone keeps slipping down. Lots of calls and lots of texts about that. Elif, are you going to read some of the texts? What were people saying online?
312 says, Cubs, just wrote them this morning. I'm done with them because of this deal announced today. After 60 years, bye-bye.
Yeah.
630 says, John, I cut the cord years ago. I catch the Cubs on TV when I can, but I listen to Cubs on radio 99% of the time, and I prefer it.
I haven't done that in years.
No, I haven't either. They aren't on the radio anymore. Did you know that? Keep going, Elif.
847 says, the Cubs only care about $$$$.
I don't mind companies doing that, but I tell you what, I think you're stupid if you forget the fact that the next generation of fans... who are cutting the cable because it's either too expensive or they don't want to pay for it. If they don't see you on TV, you will not have the same next generation of fans. Observant opinion there.
I think you're being a little touchy about all of this, but it is what brought the Cubs such popularity was their national exposure and things like that.
And being on Channel 9 and blah, blah, blah.
Always free.
I think that if the White Sox had all those years been on Channel 9 and the Cubs had been on 32 and 44, I think they would not flip-flop, but it would have been different. It would have been much better for the Sox, and it would not have been as good for the Cubs. And, yes, I am a little too touchy about this.
Well,
one more, Elif.
630 says, this makes me so mad. I'm done with the Cubs. Can't afford to go to games anymore. Can't afford cable. Go Sox. We have two teams. Don't need the Cubs anymore.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, John, I'm sorry. We're in different studios, so sorry to interrupt. But, you know, they've got the opportunity here to provide some kids programming, too. I mean, to try to get kids to learn the game and, you know, an opportunity maybe that they didn't have on some of these other networks to try to rope in the younger generation and get them hooked early.
Well, that's not supposed to be a good thing. That's like bad advertising when the car dealerships advertise.
Well,
on
wait
cartoons.
A minute, though. I mean, if you've got Javi Baez out there showing kids how to field ground balls and turn double plays, you know, when kids are trying to do that in Little League, who are they going to do? They're going to replicate who their heroes are. And, you know, that's an opportunity right there to draw some of those kids in.
Yeah, maybe so, if their parents are willing to pay the freight for the extra deal. And I suppose most folks will.
Well,
I mean,
it's been very successful for the Yankees. And I'm sure that's the model that, you know, get your own TV station, control your content, control everything,
and the E
keep most
and,
of the money.
You know, the E in Yankees and the E in ESPN stands for entertainment. So it's you know, maybe it's not just the team, it's not just the Yankees, it's not just sports. It's supposed to be an entertaining platform.
And you can also show off your minor league programs, too, that, you know, people won't normally see.
All right, well, good for them.
I have one more that I think is worth mentioning.
Okay. Is it a good one? Is it one that says, thank you, Cubs, for giving me this exclusive broadcast opportunity to watch Javi Baez field grounders with Little Leaguers?
No positivity here. 708 says, lifelong fan, 68 years. Can't afford to take family to Wrigley soon, so I won't be able to watch it on TV either. Is that what success brings? I will do without.
Yeah. Of course, if they win the World Series again. All's forgiven, right?
If they win opening day, all's
yeah.
forgiven.
If they shoot out to 20-12
right.
after the first 32 games, people will be glued. Like, 8 games above 500, let's go Cubs.
Right.
In the dining section of today's Chicago Tribune, Phil Vitale has a big feature story about sushi. The sushi boom is here. He reviews 3 new restaurants from revelation to the expected. What's going on here, Phil?
Well, a year ago, I'll start by saying we're talking about omakase restaurants. And those are, well, omakase loosely translates to chef's choice. You sit down, the chef prepares stuff for you. You don't know what's coming. He just starts sending out stuff. Chicago, a year ago, had 0 restaurants that were exclusively devoted to omakase style. Now, we suddenly have 3. So I...
Omakase is a style of sushi?
Is the style, right.
And how do you describe the omakase style of sushi?
Chef's choice. It's a set menu. You pay one price, and he just starts sending
you
stuff.
So, but do you kind of know what the omakase... how do you say it, Phil?
Omakase.
Omakase style is for a given restaurant?
Well, it's the measure of... It's the way in which you get your food. Typically, these are very small restaurants with fewer than a dozen seats. The ones in Chicago only have 7 or 8 seats, and you sit down for a very intimate, almost one-on-eight experience with the chef. You're right in front. He's making the sushi. Sometimes he's explaining what he's doing, and it's a more immersive experience.
So, is this a very successful model? Because to me, you should have 80 seats, not 8 seats.
You know, you're never going to have that kind of close contact with the chef if he's making 80 of something.
I understand that, but still, paying customers. I mean, so is it expensive to go to one of these places?
It is.
Then?
It is. 2 of the restaurants, dinner is about $125, $130. And the one, which happens to be the best one, is $220.
Wow. Per person?
Yes.
Wow. Does that include beverage?
No. Does it ever?
Yeah, I'll think of more dumb questions and give them to you later in this interview. So the one you really like is...
Kyoten.
Why do you love that one so much?
That one has, well, for one thing, the chef has a lot of personality. He makes jokes. He talks about his whole process. I mean, he shows how he's making the rice. He pulls the bowl up and tilts it so everybody can see, and he explains exactly which rice he uses and the size of the grain and why it matters to him and why it ought to matter to you. And he does really interesting, he brings out really interesting fish. You never know what you're going to get. He's really personable. And
the food is as good as the show?
Yeah, it's really, really
Kyoten, good. Kyoten.
Yeah.
And that's on Armitage. That's at 2507 West Armitage.
Right, Logan Square.
Okay, so let's go from there to this one.
It's like a menu where you're pointing at the pictures to say, I'll have that. I'll have that.
Do you eat sushi, Steve?
No, I really don't.
I'm not a sushi guy either, but my son loves it. I think they both do. And I think Brenda would more if I would like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not my cup of tea. But the kids love this. By the way, is that a thing? Is this a popular food with the people in their 20s?
It is. Yeah. It was. It's been that case for more than 10 years. I think it was about 10 years or so ago that Rich Melman told me he would never open another restaurant without some form of raw fish, be it a sushi option or a crudo if you're doing Italian restaurants, because with people my kids' age, which is 30 and younger, sushi has absolute acceptance.
Yeah.
Nobody says, hey.
I know.
Well, it's always been here for that.
Right.
That's it. See, my parents didn't take us there. We didn't cook sushi at home. I didn't know what sushi was. I had zero introduction to
it. And we all said sushi. What does that mean? It means raw fish. Well, no, it doesn't. But that's how we were introduced to it. And then we sort of got used to it.
How do you say this one?
This is Takeya.
Takeya. Tell me about Takeya.
Omakase Takeya, that opened... It opened as a basement to a ramen noodle place that is on Fulton Market, and it was very successful. They wanted to do something more upscale, but rather than buy a new place or rent a new place, they just converted their basement because, again, they only needed 7 seats. So they put a nice little sushi bar there and had a chef, and so it's been very popular. They're booked halfway through March already.
You get 1 star. What does that stand? What does 1 star mean in the Tribune?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. But here's how your review ends. It says, before dessert, tamago, then a bowl of matcha powder dusted green tea ice cream. Guests are given the option of ordering a la carte extras. This struck me as odd. Does this meal represent the chef's vision or not? But I ordered the cuttlefish and regretted it because it was as tough as a tire. I was still chewing the damn thing when the dessert arrived. Apologies to the person who picked up my napkin. Okay,
yeah,
that's tough.
There was a little surprise in that napkin.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Really?
Right.
Jeez,
Phil. It was too big to swallow and it too tough to chew.
Okay, but everything before that you thought was pretty good.
Yeah, everything was fine, and then they put this option. It's some restaurants do that. If they do an omakase, they give you a chance to order more. And I don't like that philosophically. I don't like that from a creative standpoint, because the whole idea of omakase is the chef is picking the best stuff and giving it to you in a progression that makes sense to him.
Yeah.
And then after all of that, it's like, hey, who wants an extra hand roll? I don't think that's right.
But so if you're writing a review and it was generally it was a positive experience for you, what do you think of as a writer, as a reviewer, when you put that in? Because you know that's what people are going to take away from it. That's what they're going to remember.
Right.
And the guy there is not thrilled about that.
All I can say is my responsibility is not to the chef, but to the person who's going to follow behind me and pay money based on my experience.
But you liked it.
I did like it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that one piece of cuttlefish. And if I had stayed true to my whole, I don't want to do this extra thing and not had it, I would have never known. So they kind of... Yeah, shot themselves in the cuttlefish with that one because I didn't.
I think it's like you told me yesterday, Steve. The owner, the reader needs to own a little responsibility for this.
Carry some water.
So if all you're going to read is that last line and say, oh, that's not so good, then you obviously didn't read the review or appreciate the significance of the star.
Could have been worse. I could have put it in the first line.
It's 1:51 on WGN Radio. That's Phil Vitale. Let's pause. Come back. Answer this question when we do, Phil. Valentine's Day restaurants. Your suggestions and thoughts next on WGN. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune is here. Phil Vitale?
Yes, sir.
Valentine's Day, your thoughts go.
My thoughts are I would go to any place that would have me at this point because you've got 2 days and it's getting a little tight.
If I had my druthers, where would you go?
I would go to someplace fun like Barbers K, which would be, that's not so much romantic, it's just like a big party because it's loud and boisterous. Now you're grimacing already because you don't like loud and boisterous. So I would go to, say, Bistronomic. That is going to be on the quiet side, or maybe a steakhouse, something like Three Forks Steakhouse, which might not be completely sold out, and they have a nice wine list, and so you can do surf and turf, and who can't get away with surf and turf on Valentine's Day, right? And there's a restaurant out just on just west of the Loop called Boulevard. It's actually spelled B-L-V-D. You just have to know it's pronounced Boulevard, and that is super swanky and big, really nightclubby. Just all the decor is just pure bling. And that's a lot of fun to go to, especially tonight, on Valentine's Day night. And I will caution people that somebody else might have had this idea, too. So it might be a little crowded. But the nice thing about Valentine's Day hitting a Thursday, as it does, is that, you know, with you and your sweetie, Friday counts, right? Saturday counts, doesn't it? You don't have to go out on the Thursday.
We have an extended.
Restaurants love it when Valentine begins like a three-day, four-day weekend.
It's a four-day weekend for them. That's almost perfect.
Yeah, they'll get everybody in.
It's a 156 and a half. Ella, a couple of texts for Phil Vitale. They want to know.
815 says, would love to hear other sushi restaurant suggestions that aren't so high-end. Thanks.
You're welcome. Let's see. Any of the regular sushi restaurants will do sushi a la carte, so you can control how much money you're spending. So, for instance, I like Arami, which is in Westtown, 1829 West Chicago Avenue. Kaizan is very good. That's
Kaizan
also
with the K. Kaizan.
K-A-I, next word, Z-A-N. That's just west of Western Avenue on Chicago Avenue, so about 2500 block. In River North, I really like Sushi-san, which is a Let Us Entertain You place. And, again, you can go in there. That's going to be, you know, a little more high energy, but that's you just order a la carte, so you don't.
Any other, Elif? Because we're short of time. Elif said we're short of time. Phil Vitale, thank you for coming out and visiting
us. My pleasure.
You can read him in the Chicago Tribune today. If you or your people are into sushi, it's a big spread on the front page of the dining section. They put this thing online now, too. Go to chicagotribune.com/dining. You can read Phil Vitale's reviews there. Always a pleasure. Thanks for making the effort to come out to the auto show.
Which car do I take home?
Yeah. Pick out any one you want, write a check, and it's yours.
Yeah, the blue one looks nice, but there's all these people getting their fingerprints on it. I don't think so.
John Williams is live from the 2019 Chicago Auto Show, now on 720 WGN.
Yeah, we are live at the auto show. This is John Williams on social media, WGN King John. Ernie and a crowd of three are losing their minds behind me. But actually, that's because there's a crowd of thousands at the auto show. It's so spacious, of course, at McCormick Place that you'll find plenty of room to park and plenty of room to stroll. And frankly, there's a lot of food here, too. You can make a day of it. We'll tell you how to do that in just a second. Today's show is broadcast live from the 2019 Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place. It's here until next Ray Scarpelli Monday. Am I right about that?
The 18th.
Yeah. Ray Scarpelli, that's a name that you know if you bought a car in the last 100 years in Chicago, is also the chairman of the auto show. There's Scarpelli Chevrolet.
Ray Chevrolet, Raymond Chevrolet, Raymond Kia, and Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Yeah, so that's the family of autos and trucks that you're selling these days. What's the best seller for the Scarpellis these days?
Correct. Trucks and SUVs are what's selling well, John. Equinox is great. Silverado pickup, the Ram pickup, and so that's the market, and that's what's happening at our dealerships.
Do you find that people buy pickup trucks now that aren't the traditional pickup truck driver? You know, it's not a guy that's got a small business. It's not a carpenter. It could be a family. It could be just a couple, right?
Weekend warriors.
Yeah,
use the truck to work on their house.
Yeah,
tow their boat. A lot of special use stuff.
We go to craft shows or craft sales or crap shows or crap sales, you know.
You must come home with a lot of stuff if you need a pickup truck.
We do, and a lot of times when we had a Prius, which can be a very spacious vehicle, but we'd be lugging stuff in there, and I have not yet bought a pickup truck, but I really want a pick-em-up truck.
Mulch.
That's my fantasy
mulch,
vehicle.
Right, put your mulch right. in back.
Oh my God! Yes, that's it. Yeah. This is the thing. So
see, I would think a Prius would be great, like inoculation for craft shows, because you couldn't buy anything.
Just go. Well, we can't get
right,
it in
I'd love
there.
To help. But
oh yes, we can.
That's a theme of the show too. You walk around here, you'll see the Ram test track, for instance,
which is fun to watch.
Oh,
that's the indoor test track.
That's
here, right?
correct. We have four of them.
And you don't get to drive because it's sufficiently treacherous and hilly that they have professional drivers that do it, and you get a sense of all this thing can do. The steep incline, the going over a rugged terrain, kind of like in a commercial, but indoors.
That's right. You got a 30-degree angle on one of the curves. There's noise cancellation on these trucks. I mean, they're like a fine luxury automobile, too. Leather, covered seats, heated, cooled. I mean, it's... You got to see some of this to believe it, because you'll hear it, but to experience it is another. It's pretty neat.
What's your favorite feature in new vehicles these days?
Well, it's the safety. You know, the vehicles now are so inbred with safety. They have lane departure warning. The seat will rattle. Shake you,
that's
literally.
The one I was thinking of, that the seat or the steering wheel, and depending on the car, or truck, or model you buy, but if you depart from the lane, somehow it knows it, and it'll go...
I was in a car this weekend, and the buddy who owned it was showing me, and he took his hands off the wheels, and it's an Audi with cameras that sees the stripes. So it keeps it in the lane, and around a curb, it will keep it in the lane.
For those of us that nod off sometimes, and I fall asleep if I'm driving on a sunny day. Not at night. But I don't know what it is about the sunshine. It wears me down. And Brenda's always slapping me on the shoulder going, you okay? That brrr would be perfect for us.
That's a good
It's amazing
option.
Technology.
We have forward crash warning systems where if you come too close, lights will come on and a noise will appear. And
where are you on the self-driving car thing?
It's coming. We have various levels of it now. It's called a Super Cruise. You hit the cruise control, and it'll automatically set a distance with the car in front of you. And literally, if the car in front of you will stop, you stop as well.
How does it do that? Is it a camera? How does it sense the car?
Well, it is a camera, and it's sensors. So it's probably both.
Bouncing bouncing something off of the vehicle and sensing it when it comes back.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you can get various levels of self-driving now. It's not fully autonomous, as they say, yet.
Well, that's what I guess I should have asked them. What do you think about autonomous vehicles?
They say it's coming, John. They're spending a lot of money, the manufacturers, developing it. And we're going to see it at some point. But, you know, before that, you've got a lot of things to work out in terms of laws and
mistakes. And just and frankly, I does any of us know if the appetite is going to be there just because the technology is? Will people not always want to put their hands on a car, steering wheel, and drive it, have that sense? That's the fun of driving.
I think so. I think people still love to get in a car, get to see how it handles, see how it experience it firsthand.
Well, the question is, they like to get in their car.
That's right.
Right. And so if we move fully autonomous, the car ownership, individual ownership might decrease, right? So that'd be a big change for America, for people not to own their
why
own
would,
car.
Why would ownership go down? You'd still want your own car.
Well, you just go out to the street and hail a moving vehicle and get in it. You would have less of a personal contact.
Is that the way the autonomous market would go?
That's one prediction.
Right.
So the pod would come up, you'd hail it, as Steve said, and this pod would come up and you'd go to McCormick Place.
I'm not getting in a pod. I'm not doing that.
And then the pod would drive away. So there'd be less congestion. It would drive out, park itself in Hammond, Indiana, until someone else needed it. Things like that.
Yeah, like the bicycles, like Divvy or something like that.
Sort of, except they're driving on their own, and they're
Yeah, right.
So there's variables, right? The baby diaper that got left behind, the dog that left fur all over the place,
right?
So you mentioned it earlier, personal vehicle ownership
is a big thing.
Is still a freedom that we enjoy here. And so I think that's a long way off.
Well, and, you know, maybe they'll coexist in some measure at some point, because when I came to the auto show Friday night, and again, did I say this on the air? I know I said it to you guys, that this is my third time in the last 5 days I've been here. I was here for that basketball game last night. I don't know if you heard about that,
Marquette,
Steve.
Marquette won, by the way.
I didn't.
Handily.
Remember that. Yes, I did. Marquette looked great against my DePaul Blue Demons.
How many teams do you have?
I don't know what's the answer to that.
Many.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was here last night, and then we were here Friday, and I was, what was the other time I was here? Today, last night, and for the grand opening. Each time, I was impressed with the art that are beautiful automobiles, how gorgeous they look. I mean, you know what I mean? It's the shape, it's the color, it's the design. When you see a beautiful car, that's really something to behold.
What struck me is the governor was here for the ribbon cutting on Saturday, and he wanted to walk around the show. So he spent a good amount of time here, and he was pretty engaged, asking questions about automobiles and trucks, and he was awestruck too, like you're saying. So as everyday consumers, I take it for granted because I'm in the business.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
They really are. And a lot of technology. When you come to the show, you're on 1 million square feet, 1,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs, and you could shop, compare without any pressure. So it's a great experience to get some of the deep download of safety that we're talking about, some of these features on autonomy, the capabilities of these trucks and SUVs, all here. So it's a great way to spend.
Plus, if I wanted to, say, shop for a Nissan, I'm looking at the Nissan display over there, I could get my car and drive to the local Nissan dealership. But then if I wanted to check out a Hyundai or a Chevy, I would have to get my car and drive somewhere else. Here, it's about a 40-foot walk.
That's right.
So, and you are inside these vehicles. You're slamming doors. You're kicking tires. You're talking to people that have information, except that you're not driving them. And actually, you'll feature outdoor test drives here. You can drive some, not these vehicles per se, but you can drive their equivalents outside, right?
We have 6 outdoor test drive opportunities. And so when you go to the display, you'll see the sign, and they'll locate where you can do that, and you can experience it firsthand if you desire to spend your time that way. And a lot of people do, because it carries the experience a little differently.
Yeah, although I think I would be happy just to stay here and have a hot dog and kind of walk around.
That's okay too.
What would you recommend for people who aren't into cars, but they're the plus one, and the one is, and they're the plus? What should they look to do while they're here?
Well, there's certainly a lot of interactive things to do. So some of the things would be the Supra. If you go to the Toyota display, there's the Supra test drive simulator, right? So it's got a little video game in it. You can go to the...
Are the people behind the wheels of those vehicles controlling the screens in front of them?
Yes.
I saw that, but I didn't know that those were connected. It looked like they were.
Yes.
That's cool.
It is.
That is a very cool display.
If you go right here to Chevy... 2 opportunities. First would be the 4D. That's the one where the seat blows up, the wind goes in your hair, and you're looking at the screen, and the seat is moving at the same time as the screen. Or you can go to the Chevrolet Family Fun Zone. Today we've got, Dennis Savard, we had till 2. Tomorrow we have Chris Chelios, and you can shoot some pucks at the Chicagoland Chevy Fun Zone. So there's a lot of different things to do. It's not all about cars and carpet and displays. It's a lot.
Although it is that. I mean, how many vehicles did you say are here?
About 1,000.
Yeah. McCormick Place, by the way, is, you know where it is. It's right on the lake. It's right off of, well, all of the highways and Lakeshore Drive. But parking was not a problem for me the 3 days I've been here, too. Your recommendation is to what? Follow the signs?
Follow the signs. And after 6 o'clock, parking is only $10. So it's convenient. It's won't break the bank. And it's ample parking. So when you come down to McCormick, it's pretty simple.
You know, it is nice to me. You know, you think about what are some of the bellwether things of the calendar year, Labor Day, Memorial Day. When you get to the auto show, you know you've really turned the corner on winter. On the other side of the auto show, to me, it's always going, the days are getting longer. The weather will get warmer. I know it's been a bad spell last week or the week before, but I mean, you know, this, you could draw a line in the sand. And this would be, you get past the auto show. And by the way, come inside. It's 72 degrees here. And then on the other side, you can drive these vehicles outside more easily. Ray Scarpelli is the chairman of the 2019 Auto Show. Well, well done. Beautiful displays, really terrific automobiles, trucks, all kinds of folks who are walking around here now. And it goes through Monday. If you want to find out more, ChicagoAutoShow.com, ChicagoAutoShow.com at McCormick Place. Ray, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me on. And come down to the Auto Show and enjoy your day. It's going to be a blast.
222 on WGN.
King John is live from the Chicago Auto Show. It's John Williams on 720 WGN.
Yeah, we are. We're live from McCormick Place for the 2019 Auto Show. The show's open till Monday. We are at the what they call the Buzz Hub. When you come up the escalators and stairs to the third level at McCormick Place, that's where the cars are. And when you make a right-hand turn, you'll walk right by us as you come up to the stage area. It's where you did your show, Steve Bertrand.
Could be next year the Buzz Hub will have a whole different feeling here.
When I heard Buzz Hub, I got it, but I thought, okay, now that means a lot of things to a lot of people. All the smoking will have to be outdoors anyway, though.
It's true.
Although you could enjoy your cannabis non-smokably, now that I think about that. On a phone line right now is Johnny Jett. JohnnyJett.com is his website. Johnny Jett, this is John Williams with Steve Bertrand. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're at an airport. You're about to get on a plane. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Las Vegas, so you might hear some slot machines behind me. And they boarded everyone on the plane but me, so they told me to wait till the last second before I have
okay.
to go.
I'll take 3 minutes of your time. Johnny, we were talking okay. about the lawsuit Lufthansa had against one of its passengers, somebody who got off early because that would be a cheaper way to get to a destination. You know how it is. If you want to go from New York to, say, Chicago, sometimes it's cheaper to book a flight from New York to Kansas City that stops in Chicago and then just get off there rather than finishing the flight. Is that legal to do?
Yeah, it's called the hidden city trick. So it is legal. It's just against airline policy. So if you do it, you got to do a one-way ticket. You can't buy a round trip. Otherwise, they'll cancel your return.
Right.
And you can't check a bag. And you don't want to put your freaking flyer number in there, because if you do it often, the airlines can go after you, take away your miles. And so those are the things you have to keep in mind. But
okay,
it's not illegal. It's just against airline policy.
I'm going to ask a follow-up question, but if you don't have time to answer it, don't. But this is your area of expertise. You've got a site, you're on Twitter, and you write about this and talk about this a lot. You recommend people do this to save money. Why do you recommend that people do this if this is against airline policy?
Well, I wouldn't say I recommend it. I just let people know it's available. So I would never do it myself, or I'd recommend it. But I would say, listen, if you really want to save some money and you're willing to take the chance. Because another thing you have to worry about, you know, let's say you get on, let's say there's a big snowstorm in Chicago. They could reroute you through one of their other hubs, like, say, Houston.
That's
so
right.
You're going to end up in Kansas City. So those are the things you have to worry about, but the chances are slim, and it for some people it's worth the risk.
Well, why do the airlines fight us on that? If I've paid for the flight all the way to Kansas City, but I get off in Chicago and I'm willing to carry my bag or not have a checked bag, then what difference is it to them?
It's just their way of trying to make more money. It's ridiculous. I'm totally, you know, I obviously am against it with the airlines. I want consumers to, you know, be able to find the cheapest fares. And I think this should be a fair game because they're finding loopholes. And it really became more popular when this one kid from, I think either Chicago or New York, actually from New York, who created this website, SkipLagged.
Yeah.
And, the other airline, United, and I think Orbit, sued him, and they lost. And he's the one that really shows how easy it is and which airports you can go through.
skip lag. Yeah, I've heard about that as well, but it's the same. It's the same concept, right?
No, his website just shows you which airports you want to fly to. So let's say you want to fly, you know, New York to Chicago. You put in that, and they'll say, "Well, listen, there's a really cheap fare to Kansas City, which stops in Chicago. So if you buy that, you'll save, you know, whatever amount of money it is. Sometimes it could be significant." So he just points out which airports you really want to put in when you're searching, but it will show you the destination that you want to go.
You know, the other thing is, though, I thought that a ticket, like at a Major League Baseball game, is a contract, that you agree to the terms. You can do this legally and not get sued, huh?
Well, you know, we'll find out. You know, the first court in Germany, they lost, Lufthansa lost, but I think they're appealing it. So, you know, everyone's waiting to find out what happens. But, you know, I have heard of people where, you know, the one way around it I've heard is by using a third party. Don't book it through the airline's website. Book it through a third-party travel agency, because that way it's harder for the airline to figure it out. Also, don't put your frequent flyer number in again. And, you know, just be prepared. Sometimes if you do it often, an airline representative will be waiting for you at your connecting gate and walk you to the next flight.
Well, you get that personal touch. That's really nice of them. JohnnyJet.com.
Yes, it is. JohnnyJet.com.
All right, Johnny Jet, you're busy. We are, too. We're at the auto show, and you're in Las Vegas about to get on a flight. Thank you for your time. We'll connect with you again on another day.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, you know, tickets can be expensive. I'm all for saving money, but I don't know that I'm that interested in that much effort.
Right, working so hard and buying 2 one-way tickets, that's the other thing.
I know people that really do, I want to say game the system, and I don't mean that. I mean, but just make every effort to save every dollar, and they win.
Gaming. That's nothing wrong with that.
And
right?
They win, but I'm just not that guy. I'm too lazy or dumb or, I don't know, maybe all of those things. I just don't do all of that stuff. So, speaking of travel, the satellite that we sent to Mars, it was called Opportunity, and it went by the nickname, or they gave it the nickname of Oppie. And there's this guy, Jacob Margolis, who I follow. He writes about science, and he wrote, "Sad news, Mars rover hashtag Opportunity is probably done. Sometime tonight, a team at NASA JPL will make their final attempt to contact hashtag Oppie. If they can't, they'll likely call the mission. Here's what happened. She was bouncing along, doing well, until a massive dust storm engulfed all of Mars in June of 2018, knocking out communications with the team on Earth. They have not heard from her since. It's unclear exactly what happened. The last message they received from Opportunity on Mars was basically, quote, my battery is low and it's getting dark, which was how I felt about 2018.
So are they going to break up with her the day before Valentine's Day?
They hoped that the windy season would clear dust off of the solar panels if that was the problem. Since then, they've been pinging her again and again and again, every way they knew, but she would never answer. This is a Valentine's Day story. As far as I can tell, Jacob Margolis writes, this is the last image that Opportunity took, and then it's the image sent back from Mars, and it's not of the surface of Mars, but simply a gray sort of a screen within a black border. So it sent back kind of an odd static picture. He wrote, the world should feel great about the life of Oppie. Supposed to only survive for 90 days, she lasted for 15 years, drove over 28 miles on Mars, all caps, exclamation points. If you're holding out hope, just know people have been getting hired away from the team since June of last year, as tasks dried up. NASA administrators will announce the final decision, but it's not looking good. That said, Oppie's emergency heaters will kick in, and it will spend that energy warming its little robot heart, which contains its most important components. It probably won't be enough going into winter to move around and survive. If components haven't broken already, the extreme cold will likely serve the final blow. Per John Callis at JPL, if the solar panels do start to sip energy from the sun and feed it to the battery, but winter is coming.
the windy season, which runs from November through January, has come to an end. Bad news for Oppie. It'll be dark and temperatures will reach 100 degrees below zero centigrade. The key, it says 100, minus 100 C.
Yeah, Celsius centigrade, yeah.
Are those the same, centigrade and Celsius? Has that been published in all the papers?
Almost everybody knows that. But right.
One key way she stays warm is by moving around, but she won't be able to. And finally, he wrote, she, along with, and Oppie is a she, I guess, along with Spirit, helped us confirm that different types of water once flowed on the surface of Mars and that the environments could have been hospitable to life. So cheers to Opportunity, Spirit, and the entire team around the world that since 2000 have furthered our understanding of the red planet and of the possibility of life existing elsewhere. Roved around there for 15 years.
Beep, beep, beep. Only supposed to last 90 days?
90 days.
Wow. I read
solar panels kept collecting the sun. Jen, I knew you would love this story.
I do.
And it just kept going and going and going. Just imagine this little robot with a little neck, with a little eye on top. It almost looks humanoid, like if a human robot had wheels. Just puttering around on Mars.
I read this before I went to bed last night. And do you guys know that feeling when you hear like a loved one passed away where your heart just kind of sends that shiver through your body?
I've heard of that.
Oh, I
you
felt
had that happen?
I felt that reading this. Yes.
Oppie sent you a little ping.
So sad.
Steve, your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad we got the data out of it that we needed.
Yeah. Steve's not touched by all of this.
Sorry.
And the other thing is, if you just think how far... Don't you ever do this sometimes? Think Mars. It's just relatively close, but it's really far away. And there's a little thing out there, and we're driving it around with a joystick.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And it's sending back pictures, and lo and behold, water flowed on Mars thanks to this thing. I mean...
Well, we know that it flowed on Mars thanks to this thing.
What did I just say?
You just said it flowed on Mars thanks to this thing.
Which would be cool.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the correction on that. Well, you are paying attention. So I think it's really amazing what they did. And the fact that it went for 14 years and 9 months longer than they thought is sort of a tribute to humanity. It's like, go species.
Yeah, I'm jealous of you. I wish I don't have a big interest in...
this kind of stuff.
Science.
Yeah. Jen, I'm sure glad you're over there. Maybe next year you'll come to the auto show and Steve will say back.
You know what Nancy said on 6-3 on the text line? Mm. Oppie probably ran off with Wally.
It looks like Wally. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons that people are attached to this.
Yeah.
It looks like Wally and the, what is it? This wasn't a cartoon.
Well, who came first? Oppie probably came first. No, really, right?
The Pixar
thing. Well, 15 years ago, I'd have to know what the year was of Wally. This is 2019. Was it 2004? Because that would be sort of the launch date of the spacecraft. But it is no more. Okay.
2008 was Wally.
So this came first, right. And then Wally looked a little bit like this. 312-981-7200 is the number to call or text. What's that, Ella?
847 says, what kind of man-made global warming turned the water off on Mars and made it uninhabitable? Is Al Gore looking into this national nightmare of Mars? Please assist.
Oh, that's very funny.
Please assist.
I don't know how to take that. Is that somebody mocking global warming, or is that just a funny thing and I shouldn't read too much?
Oh, it could be either of the two. You can take it. I think it's subjective.
I think they're mocking the idea that global warming is going to change life on Earth.
Ernie thinks that Trump texted it in.
And I have no sense of humor about that, and I need to. The president said the other day, yesterday, he said, what's the matter with these Democrats? Why are they so angry? He's just every day goes through that lens, and it's not a good day when you do that. So here we go again. We've got our little montage of songs about cars. All right, back at the station, we're ready to play this, right? Ernie, are you any good at music? Are you able to, can you tell which of these are which? I've got 9 here. Tell me if you can get all 9. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I'm a friendly stranger in the black sedan. Won't you hop inside my car?
I'm in love with my car.
Mustang inside it.
Mercedes Benz
passenger side.
I'm driving in my car.
I think I'm playing this just so I can do this bit again.
I pull you a little closer. You say no.
Jen, did you hear this earlier when we played it?
You don't like it.
Robin Williams as Elmer Fudd as Bruce Springsteen. The one before that was Wilco. Yeah, I didn't get Passenger Side. I don't know that song, but I recognize the voice. So I go, well, it's probably Wilco. I don't know that song.
I didn't get the Queen one.
I'm in love with my car.
I just didn't recognize it, no.
Oh, no kidding. Then you had Mustang Sally Wilson Pickett, which you actually did get earlier.
I don't think Tracy Chapman was in that list.
She didn't make the cut this time. No. We had two versions of it. Oh, we didn't play the one with Tracy Chapman. Little Red Corvette by Prince, and then you had Baby, You Can Drive My Car. And by the way, when you go back and listen to Mercedes-Benz by Janis Joplin, mm-hmm. that is good.
Yeah,
I was not a Janis Joplin fan, and when she was out there, I didn't understand it. But I knew there was an audience for it. And then you go back sometimes and watch some of these things, and you go, that lady had talent. And power
right.
and charisma. You know, she was really strong. It's 2:56. We're at the auto show at McCormick Place. We sure invite you to come on out and have the kind of fun we're having. You'll be able to walk around, look at cars. There's all sorts of interactive things for people to do. Kids will have fun out here. They got food and beverage too. Come out after 6 o'clock. Parking is $10. And parking and getting in and out has not been difficult for us. And I'll bet you'll have an easy come and go of it, too. They're here till Monday at the auto show at McCormick Place. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis are back in Studio A in our downtown studios. We'll say hi to them and get a preview of these stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up on WGN. So from the auto show, we go at McCormick Place back to our downtown studios. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis are in Studio A. Hi, campers.
Hey there, John. You got your eye on anything out there? Something you like?
I'm looking at an orange Chevy Camaro right now.
Oh, yeah.
Getting into it.
I am.
And
very
I'm
practical.
Thinking, yeah, and I'm looking.
Perfect,
you know,
for this winter.
I'm like, that car is so wrong for me.
And so right in so many ways.
I was never powerful, muscular, and sexy. It is all those things, so skip it. I'll just get a minivan.
Yeah. Well said, John. Well said.
Why would you drive?
I got to borrow one of those Camaros last year.
I remember. You had so much fun.
Oh, my. You know, I'm thinking, why spend the extra money for the Corvette? I know Shippy doesn't like when I say that, but it was just so much. It was so fun to drive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really, I could probably get two Mustangs for the cost of a really souped-up Corvette, right? Maybe I'll just buy two Mustangs.
Well, that would be Ford. You go over, and Mustangs are great, too. Chevy doesn't like when I say that either. But
Camaros and Corvettes, yeah.
But those are, you know, a ton of fun. And they do have, it is, there's something special about the auto show. This time of year, you know, you're inside, you feel like, it feels like summer. Because mm-hmm. you're looking at cars that you can only drive in the summer.
And you're planning road trips in your mind and how fun it would be to drive one of these.
Let's do one of these things, although maybe this is too personal, but we ought to make a list, Bertrand and me and you guys and Bill and Wendy and everybody, and we'll put all of what is the principal vehicle that you drive or your mode of transportation, and then the name of the person, and it's a matching game. You have to think, okay, I'll bet I know what Rokan drives. I'll bet I know what Anna drives. Uh-huh. I'll bet I know what Steve drives. Uh-huh. And then you see if people can get it right. I wonder if we would be able to do that amongst ourselves. Although I know, and I'm cheating now because I know what Anna DeVlantis drives.
And Ro talks about his car all the time.
And Cochran has the White Lightning.
You've got a smart car, right? Isn't that what you drive?
I had we had a Prius. We don't have a Prius anymore. We now have, a dumb car. I bought a car. I have a car that doesn't have a CD player. And that really bothered
me. Did you go old school? Did you buy like a...
No, I got two new school. It's a 2019 or 2018, but it's a Mazda, one of those mid-size crossovers or SUVs.
You know what you need to do, though, is you just need to put everything on your phone.